suggest that people start reading. If they want to start reading the course, start with the teacher's manual, because it makes it easier to read the text. So it clarifies a lot of the terminology that the course uses. So let's just take about 30 seconds to bring our energies into the room. Realize that you're now off stage. You're now taking a break from your own personal cosmic drama. This is the time to try to remember that you're not the role that you're playing. You're not a mother. You're not a father. You're not a sister. You're not a brother. You're not whatever your job title is. You are not your gender. You are beyond the body. You are spirit. We're spiritual beings having a human experience that would allow us to remove the blocks to the awareness of love and truth and who we really are. All the things that are happening in your life is just a means to come into your power, in the realization of your power. But you are not your body. You are free. You're still as God created you. You're not your feelings. You're not your feelings. You're not your feelings. You are 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 not your emotions. You are not your thoughts. You experienced your thoughts, but you are not your thoughts. You are not what you think. You are not what you think. You experience what you think. And you see what you think. And you feel what you think. But you are not what you think. You are spirit. You are innocent. You are unlimited. You are all powerful. You are eternal. You are loved. You are lovable. You are not alone. You are guiltless. You are free. You are not a body. You have a body. You are not a body. You have a body. You have a body. You are not your body. You have a body. You are spirit. You are spirit. You are not your role. You are not your gender. You are not your role. You are not your gender. You are not your past. You are not your past. Your past has no power in this moment unless you interpret the present in past terms and therefore relive your past in the future. The present is your point of power. Right now is your point of power. You can change everything in your life that displeases you in the now, not in the future, not in the past. You don't deserve happiness in the future. You don't deserve happiness in the future. You deserve happiness right now. You deserve peace right now. You can have peace right now. You are innocent right now. Thank you, God. So we're going to be on How is Correction Made? On page 47. So today's lesson is how do we make correction? How do we really do correction from a Course in Miracles perspective, which is not obviously not going to be what the world teaches. And the Course in Miracles has a definition of correction that's different from the world's definition of correction. It says that correction that's of a lasting nature, that's the only thing that we can really call true correction. A true correction isn't a temporary band-aid. It's not something that just lasts for a little while. A real correction lasts. A real healing lasts. I love how it says in the teacher's manual that if you've ever really been healed in any situation, you only have to be healed once. Because once you're really healed, it's done forever. But if you're constantly being healed, then you've never been healed. So it's not possible to be healed over and over again about the same issue. If it's really healed, it's permanent. So the Course talks about permanent healing in a world where we believe in temporary everything. So that's what makes it different. And it says we can't make correction of a lasting nature until the teacher of God, that's us, the people who are supposed to be demonstrating love, have ceased to confuse interpretation with fact, which means we have to stop confusing our illusions with the truth. Facts are not our judgment. Facts are not interpretations. I will not be able to permanently correct any situation in my life until I stop confusing interpretation with fact. When I stop confusing evaluation, guessing, judgment with fact, I can't make a true correction. So the court says, if you argue with a pupil or a person, because everybody's our pupil and we're everybody else's pupil according to the course. So I'm going to say it in a way that just make it make more sense in our day-to-day reality. It says, if you argue with a person. Hello, if I argue with a person. If I argue with a person about a magic thought, which the course calls any of the thoughts we have that's not based on truth. So if I argue with a person about their ego thoughts, if I argue with a person about their anger or whatever it is that they are misperceiving, the course says if I try to attack what another person believes, even if it's not true, if I try to establish the error of another person's thought, if I try to demonstrate the falsity of another person's thought, I'm just witnessing to its reality. If I argue with you, if I attack what you think, if I try to establish what you think is a mistake, if I try to demonstrate to you that what you think is false, I'm actually making it real. I don't know about you, but that's quite a statement. Because I see people doing it all day long, every kind of way possible, and so do I. I try to point out when I think people are wrong. I try to clarify when I think something they're saying is not true. And what the course is saying, I am just making the illusion or the error real. Now, we're not talking about the level of if you see a child getting ready to run out the street, do you just let them run out the street and get hit by a car? I'm hoping everybody here is saner than that. Okay, I'm just counting on the fact that everybody here got more sense than that. So, but I've heard people ask dumb questions like that. What are you saying? You know, and it's like, come on now, get real. You're not going to let a little child walk out in the street because you came to my class. You know, and you heard this in the book, you know. But there are so many situations in our lives where it's really not necessary to try to correct somebody, and we try to. Just because our ego feels like it's our job to point out to them the error of their perception. And I look at that at the level of that the course is talking about, which is the level of whether or not we recognize that we are one or whether or not we recognize that we're separate. The level of whether or not we recognize we're spirit and love or the level of separation. It's like I'm not going to walk up to the people in the mall and say, do you know you're not a body? You're free. You're still as God created you. You're a spirit. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I'm with somebody who's totally in the dream and they totally believe the dream and they totally just believe they're just a human being and they've lost sight of their spiritual identity and they really do believe they're a victim of everything, it's like unless that person specifically asks my perception or unless, you know, before I know it, spirit has spoken through me, I'm not going to start up a conversation based on something that a person does not believe. I'm going to try to join with them where we can connect. So I'm not going to try to make them understand something that is such a level of truth that they're not even ready to deal with it yet. So I'm not going to try to argue with you about your beliefs if it's different from mine. I'm not going to try to attack your beliefs if they're different from mine. I'm not going to try to establish the error. I'm not going to try to demonstrate it's false because I'm just going to make it real. Because the person is going to oppose you if they really believe what they believe, and then you end up making them much more focused in that idea than they would have if you had just gone on about your business and talked about what you could talk about. Right? A person believes they're guilty, or a person believes in sin, and you walk up to them and you say, well, there is no such thing as sin, and then they're going to try to prove to you that there is a such thing as sin. So what you've actually done is just made them even more into their false idea about themselves. So one of the most powerful stages of spiritual development is when you learn how to shut up. It's the most amazing level of consciousness that can be achieved by a spiritual aspirant. I'm not kidding. I saw the course work in my life to clear up more things in my life when I stopped feeling responsible to correct everybody around me than anything that I've ever seen. So watch being a doctor corrector. which means you have to point out to everybody what they're thinking that's not correct. I don't know if any of you have any of that in you, but I was definitely one, especially when I first got into New Thought. I would just, every time somebody said, oh, don't say that. You need to think that way, and you need to say it that way, and that's not the right way to say it. You really need to focus on that. You know, then I was wondering why people would run when they saw me coming. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they know people don't want somebody around them saying to them, this is what you're saying to a person when you're correcting them all the time. This is what you're doing. You're saying, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. That's what you're doing when you correct somebody all the time. And that's the way they are responding to it, whether you realize it or not. And so they get really quiet around you. Then you think they're agreeing with you, right? And what it is, they just don't want to say nothing that's going to trigger a conversation with you. So they just get quiet. And pretty soon they back off. You wonder what happened to them. And what's happened to them is that they want to be around people that they can share their thoughts with freely without feeling like they're going to be attacked, because that's what it feels like. That's what I love about Wednesdays, that I really get a chance to throw in a lot of stuff and we get a chance to discuss. So especially on Wednesday, I'm open to questions or whatever come up for you, so that I can take 24 years of a session with the Course in Miracles to try to help save you and me some time, so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel and go through the same thing that I've seen 1,000 people go through, because you're not different. And the Course says that's the biggest illusion of all, is that we're different. We go through the same things at different times, and that convinces us that we're different. You happy today, I'm sad today, so you say you're different from me. You want to kill yourself tomorrow, and I'm skipping saying what's wrong with you. You see it all the time, you know. So it's just the same feelings at different times. And so we tell each other that we're different. And the Course says there aren't but two types of man: the ones that take responsibility and the ones that see themselves as victims. Those are only two types of man you've ever run across in your life. Most of us are a mixture of the two. We have areas that we take responsibility for, and then we have areas that we see ourselves as the victim. Agree? There's some areas we like, right on, I created that, no problem. We have areas we go, you. You know you did it to me, you know. And so when you really want to be in harmony, you own all of it. And that's a big step, to own your whole experience. Okay. Now, any questions about what I said so far? He says, if you witness to the reality of something that somebody else is saying, he says, depression is being inevitable. You're going to get depressed. That's why we get depressed when we try to talk to a lot of people. He says, you're going to get depressed because you are proving both to the other person and to yourself that it is their task to escape from what is real. And you cannot escape from what is real, because what is real cannot be destroyed. If it's real, it's there. You got to deal with it. Nothing can be done about it from a Course in Miracles standpoint. It's like the way that you can tell the difference between something that's real and something that's not real is so simple that most people, including me, leap right over it. Here you go. Just see, just watch how the mind blanks this out. Okay? But if it's real, it's constant, it's permanent, it never ends. If it's unreal, it changes and it's temporary, and it ends. Now, based on that definition, what are we in?
Unreality.
Thank you. Say it again.
Unreality.
Why?
Because nothing that we see around us lasts forever.
Thank you. Now we know. Now you're enlightened. Everybody got that? Now, is that saying that this doesn't appear to be solid? Not at all. How else could we be fooled? But our own experience lets us know that it's not real, because we know that nothing we see lasts. I don't know about you, but my 10-year-old body didn't last. My 20-year-old body didn't last. I wish I had used it more. That's what I hate about the belief in guilt. You waste so much time having fun. With all the guilt you make yourself feel. And by the time you don't feel guilty, you can't do nothing with your body. Don't nobody else want it. But that's another story. Now I finally feel innocent. Well, it's really hilarious how much time we waste on guilt and what we think, what they gonna think about what we do. That's just hilarious to me. I would wear this outfit, but what will they think? Who are these they? Will somebody tell me who the they are? Aren't we the they? In a sense, for somebody else, aren't we the they? Now tell me how much time you spend per day thinking about somebody else other than yourself. Question to the group. Will you leave here and really be concerned about what I wore today? And even if I had worn something outrageous, wouldn't you have just made a comment about it to yourself that lasted about 10 seconds? Wow, that was really wild. I never thought I'd see Earl wear pantyhose. And then, you know, you would go, wow, that was really, okay. And now, what's the course talking about? You know what I'm saying? It's like, people are so self-absorbed that they are not concerned about you and what you wear and what you say. That's really freeing when you really hear it. But I used to waste so much time with them, what they were going to think. So keep in mind that if something is real, then it is always going to be there. Now, what's the advantage of knowing that what we are in is in something that changes? What would be a good thing about that? Thank you. Everybody know the answer, they're just scared to say it. Yeah. That means whatever situation that you're in right now that's bringing you any kind of pain can be changed for the better. That means that there's nothing in your life that's causing you any kind of concern that cannot be changed for the better. The one thing you can always count on, the one thing that's a total blessing about this experience that we're having is that everything in it can change. That's the best news about it. The Course in Miracles says the Creator set it up like this. Anything that is not love and is not real happiness cannot last, whether you want it to or not, because the universe is not going to perpetuate any kind of fear or pain. That's why sometimes I've seen people try so hard to hang on to relationships with everything they got, and the relationship still dissolves. Because it's not really the best relationship for them, so the universe is not going to sustain it. I don't care how hard they try. Or a person being on a job only for security, but they really don't enjoy it, and they wonder why they got laid off. The job is not their purpose, their function, and the thing that brings them any joy, and they're just living out of fear, which is the security level, which is what most humans live on. That's the security level. So that's powerful. So that means that I don't care how hard we try, we'll never be able to make the thing that makes us unhappy last. In spite of our best efforts, which we put forth some darn good efforts, don't we? Have you ever had a relationship that you just hung on with the last toenail of your fingernail that you knew just wasn't no good, you just mad and upset all the time, and you just, and no matter how hard you tried, it just wouldn't work out. And you know, it's like I would be on my knees thanking God. You know, yeah.
How does self-sabotage play into that?
Well, if it's self-sabotage, that in itself is why it doesn't last. Because if it's self-sabotage, it's not for your own good either. To really get that the underlying basis of the universe is love is one of the hardest things to get, because as humans, like I said, think about it. Humans, the Course in Miracles says, I like to say that because there's so much stuff in this book that's so fascinating that people never read because they tell themselves it's hard to read. And you can come across one sentence in this book and it'll change your whole perception of life. It's really amazing. There's a one line law that I think about. It says, the body's comfort is its guiding rule. that a person that thinks they're a body or human, the thing that guides everything they do is, how can I be more comfortable? That's why we're so much into conveniences. We always go in the direction of what makes us feel good and what makes us feel comfortable, right? The more comfortable I feel, the more I want to move toward it. Am I by myself?
No, you're not.
We're not, right. Okay, now, some of the things we hear here, does it really make you feel comfortable all the time? Probably no. So the truth doesn't always make you feel comfortable, but the truth will save you. So keep that in mind, that sometimes the things that you feel the most resistance about are the things that you need to pay attention to, because it may be where the answer is. I'm to the point now that if I feel attraction to somebody, I try to have sense enough to head in the other direction. I'm really working on that. Because if I look at my past patterns of choosing, I would realize I shouldn't trust my attractions. But you know what we do? The very next time we feel that little twinge, that little, you know, like, there we go, right? And it hit me years ago that if I was to be honest with myself, it's the same feeling I get when a dog chases me down the street. You know, it's like, you know. And it's like, when I see that feeling, I always try to remind myself, talk to them. Have a conversation. Because that'll usually dissipate your attraction. Because then you can separate the person from your fantasy. And that's deep. Because I find, for me, it's easier to not get into something that's not good for me than to get in it and try to get out. So I'm trying to have vision ahead of time in all of my relationships. It's deep. It's deep. So it says that reality is changeless. Because really, if our intuitions about relationships were so accurate, would we be in so many that we think we wish were different? Think about it. And the court says that the only reason why a person is attracted to another person is that they remind them of something from the past. That's why they single that person out as opposed to another one. Do you know that attractions are based on who I think can fulfill my needs the most, or who remind me the most of what I've already had? That's deep. So pay attention to your attractions and really ask yourself if you're not just choosing the same thing again in another form, especially if they haven't even talked to you yet. I love the coarse comas. The coarse comatose. You just ought to see y'all's faces. It's trippy. It's trippy, man. It's like, it's trippy when people just, they start out alive, and then the longer I talk, they turn into stone. I tell you, I love teaching this book. So let me get this straight. Reality is changeless. And magic thoughts, which are the thoughts we have every day, the Course says, are but illusions. Otherwise, salvation would be only the same age-old impossible dream in but another form. Yet the dream of salvation, the dream of healing, the dream of happiness has a new content. It's not the form alone in which the difference lies. So, our major lesson, hello, Matt, what is your major lesson, Earl? Your major lesson is to learn how to react to magic thoughts completely without anger. My major lesson is to learn how to react to my upsetting thoughts, my ego thoughts, my fearful thoughts, my guilty thoughts without getting angry. So can I think the thoughts I normally think without getting angry about thinking the thoughts I normally think? Can you think the thoughts you think without getting mad at yourself for thinking the thoughts you think? Can you think the thoughts you think without feeling guilty about thinking the thoughts you think? That's the major lesson for us to learn. How to have our thoughts, whatever they are, pretty or ugly, without getting angry about them. Can I hear the ego without getting mad? Can I watch the news without getting mad? Can I read the paper without getting mad? Can I listen to the stupid stuff some people around me say without getting mad? Can I listen to the stupid stuff I tell myself without getting mad? That's my major lesson to learn, is how not to get mad at everybody else's thoughts and my thoughts either. Only in this way can you proclaim the truth about yourself. Now, what's the advantage if I can maintain my peace regardless of what I think or what I feel? Well, that means that through me then, the Holy Spirit, which is the higher self, can now speak of our reality. If I can maintain my peace, then God can use me to tell the truth through. If I can maintain my peace, love can use me to express the truth through. So love didn't say you had to have every thought you had to be pure, you know, because everybody's working on having pure thoughts, which is, you know, the most ridiculous waste of time. you know you're not going to have 100% pure thoughts. Forget it. Let it go. Can you have a crappy thought and still smile? Can you have a crappy thought and don't beat yourself up for having it? Because if you can, Spirit can use you. That's deep. He says, now, when Spirit talks through you, Spirit can remind the world of sinlessness, the one unchanged, unchangeable condition of all that God created. So let me get this straight. I used to read the Course and just go through it and just wouldn't let myself hear it, because I used to think I had to figure it out. And I wasted a lot of time with that, analyzing it. It said, okay, let me get this straight. Okay, girl, your major lesson to learn is how to get upset. And don't get upset about getting upset. If you don't get upset about getting upset, then God can speak to you to tell everybody the truth. And what is God going to tell people through you? Well, God is going to remind everybody of sinlessness, which is guiltlessness, which is the one unchanged, unchangeable condition of all that God created. You need to understand that if you were created by God, you are sinless and you're guiltless. And you may make mistakes, and mistakes are for correction, but you're not sinful and you're not guilty. The most unpopular teaching on earth. You want to teach? I'm teaching the absolute most unpopular teaching that you could teach. If I had decided to be a Baptist minister, I'd probably have a Rolls Royce outside right now. You know what I'm saying? You can fill the place up so fast when you tell people they're crappy and guilty and sinful and going to hell. It'll be so many cars on the street you can't even hardly get a parking space. It would have to be a valet service around here. You tell people you're going to hell, you're pitiful, you're crappy. I couldn't buy into it. I'd go to church as a kid and go, wait a minute, hold it. You know, why am I sinful? Because what? I'm responsible for somebody dying 2,000 years before I was born? I don't think so. And if you dared to question it, you were told that you were going to hell. Right? And, yeah. And personally, I felt like that wasn't too bad. Because all my friends was going to be there. You know, heaven sound dope. I did not want to sit around and play a harp all day. I'm sorry. That just was, you know, maybe, you know what I'm saying, make a little funk music, a little 70s jam. You know, I could be there. But I ain't going to be sitting around, like, looking for streets paved to gold and playing a harp with a bunch of people with no sex drive. So it just never really appealed to me. But so I thought it sounded crazy. Now, did it sound crazy to anybody else, or did it just sound crazy to me? Is anybody saying? Okay, you know. And okay, good. That's why I want to be around. I want to be around the people that it sound crazy to. That's what I'm looking for. You know, when people think I'm normal, I get scared. Okay, so he says, now, since I'm not getting mad at myself, so Spirit can use me, he says, now you can speak the word of God to listening ears, you can bring Christ's vision to eyes that see. In other words, when you stop beating yourself up, you're free to teach all minds the truth of what they are so that they can gladly be returned to them. And that's what I'm doing. I'm sitting here letting something that I didn't make up use my body to remind you that you are sinless, you are guiltless, and you are innocent. That's why I was... And ever since I decided to do that, I have been taken care of by the universe. You can't tell me that I don't earn my living a strange way. You see what I'm saying? You know, teaching some of his obscures, of course, and miracles on a love offering basis. Black. Come on now. Come on. So, you know, you don't tell me you're on the job you're on and you can't make it. You know, it don't make no sense. But I did decide that I was going to use my body for something greater than my own ego gratification. What was a trip about it was that once I dedicated myself to being used for the truth, all my fantasies being fulfilled were being thrown in just as a little extra thing on the side. It was great. It's great. But when I was after my fantasies, they never showed up. When I wanted to use myself for the truth, and all the rest of the stuff just started coming to me. It was amazing to watch. So I know, and guess what? Everybody that comes to this class, I don't know how to tell you this, but first of all, you're ancient, and you are a teacher. Does not mean you'll do it officially like I am sitting in front of a class, but you are a teacher. And in your own personal world, you're supposed to have the exact same function that I do, but you'll be doing it in your own way. And when you sit down and meditate one day and tell Spirit, I am totally willing to fulfill the function that I was born to fulfill, and you're not shucking and jiving, you really are sincere, then you will start to see things begin to correct themselves in your life. But you can't jive yourself. Now, you can jive everybody else, but you can't jive yourself and you can't jive God. So you can't be saying that just to get a bill paid. And you can't just be saying that just to get the soulmate. It's got to be, I sincerely want to do the thing I was born to do, even though I don't even know how. And I don't even know what it is. I am willing to be shown.
That's a yes.
Yeah. There's nothing changing in my life until I made that decision. You know what I mean? And so it was helpful when I realized it was okay for me to have my ego thoughts, because I thought I couldn't do it if I had to have pure thoughts all the time. But the minute I realized it was okay for me to have my guilt and my fears and my upsets and my angers and my projection, as long as I didn't condemn myself for it and realized it was not something I wanted to perpetuate, that wasn't my goal, then I started to see things transform. At first you don't realize how deeply these old ideas are ingrained in you. And so people think they can just say it once or twice half-heartedly. And if things don't change, they say it don't work. Think about that. I want to transform a lifetime worth of negative, wrong thought into half-heartedly done workbook exercises. Or a week. Or even a month. That's not really realistic. But you could be grateful for every little bit of improvement that you do. I used to go off 50 times a day. Now I go off 48 9/10. you know what I'm saying? All right. You know what I'm saying? I only cussed out 20 people today. I used to cuss out 55. You know what I'm saying? You know, but people won't do that. It's like it's all or nothing. You either got to be an angel, go from a devil to an angel, or somehow you're not getting it. Pat yourself on the back. You have come much further than you realize that you've come. You know, give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. I call myself on the phone and leave great messages for myself. You know, it's great. You ought to do it. It's a trip because you forget you put them on there. And then all of a sudden I'll be listening to my message. Earl, you awesome man. You are loved. Don't worry about that. Everything's going to be all right. Da, 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 da. Because if I wait for everybody else to do it, I might wait all my life. You know, if I wait for somebody else to acknowledge me. Oh, man, I got tired of waiting. You know. You know, I did. It's like, you know, I tell myself I'm cute. You know? That's the nicest round stomach ever was created. You got to do it, you all. You got. And the funny thing about it is when you do it for yourself, the world being a reflection of your own consciousness, other folks start acknowledging you and it'll trip you out. But as long as I waited for other people to do it, they never did it. Because everything in the outer is a reflection of the inner. So if I'm not doing it to me, you're not going to do it to me. That's deep. Why are you attacking me at work? Because I'm attacking myself. I'm criticizing and judging myself, then I create someone that criticizes and judges me. I get mad at them. I try to change them, and I lose sight of the fact that it's a reflection of my attitude toward myself, and so I try to solve the problem where the problem isn't located. And if you do that, you've never solved the problem. So every time I try to change something outside of myself from the perception that I'm changing something outside of myself, then I never heal it. If I try to change something outside of myself from the perspective that it's a reflection of something inside of myself, it's funny how it'll work either way you do it. As long as I don't ever fool myself into thinking that what I'm perceiving is not connected to my own mind. Got it? You're right with me on that. Any questions about that? This is some good stuff. Y'all know this is some good stuff now. Come on, tell me some good stuff. Thank you. Thank you for that spontaneous acknowledgement. I feel so much better now. I feel so much better.
You too.
All right. I love your correct perception. That is so true. I tell you. I'm telling you. How many of y'all waiting for somebody else to acknowledge you? And you know what I'm saying? Waiting for somebody else to make you feel good about yourself. Wow, it's a trip, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
All right. And if you need someone to ever tell you that you're innocent and that you're beautiful, I will do it. So if you just need someone to tell you the truth about yourself, you know, I will do it. And you don't have to pay me. I will do it.
You can tell us all right now.
You all are absolutely fantastic, spectacular, and awesome. You have to be full of love to even sit here, to even hear this. You are much further along than you think, and you cannot lose. You can feel guilty, but that doesn't make you guilty. You can think you're not loved, but that doesn't make you not loved. What you think about yourself has nothing to do with what your creator or the people who care about you feel about you. And that's what we forget. It's whenever I don't love myself, that absolutely has nothing to do with how the people that love me feel about me. And I forget about that. And so that's true about you. You are loved even when you're hating yourself and putting yourself down. That's the truth. You are loved. You are loved. And you love yourself enough to draw yourself to a person who would tell you that. See what I'm saying? I'm sitting in front of you telling you this. That is because of you that I'm sitting in front of you telling you this. And just like one person could be sitting in front of you telling you this sincerely, you could have hundreds of people sitting in front of you telling you this sincerely. If one person can do it, more than one person can do it. Never forget that. If one person can do it, more than one person could be doing it. So don't ever think you have to limit your love to one person. You may limit sex to one person. You may limit your phone number to one person. You may limit having a special relationship to one person. But you don't want to ever limit your love to one person. Deep. Sometimes sex and love is so hopelessly intertwined that when you hear loving more than one person, the man goes to sex with more than one person. I don't know about you, but that used to happen. Whenever I mention that in the class, people immediately go, oh, that's sex with a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people don't want to have sex with you already. You see that? So I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm saying? You know, the price is too high in most cases. It is. It's just grossly overrated. Okay, now, love is changeless. It never ends. It always expands. It'll never desert you. It'll never leave you. It'll never abandon you. Specialness will. You can get specialness and you can lose specialness. People give specialness and they take it away. But you can never lose love, ever. Somebody that loves you never stops, ever. Whew. I want some love. I've been special a lot of times. I want some love. You know what I'm talking about? So it's hard to want love in this world because you don't get a lot of support. You don't get a lot of help when you really want love. You really don't. People are scared of love. But they're totally addicted to specialness.
People love that. The Course says that's the hidden desire behind everything that everyone does in the world, is that they want to be special. And I went, wow, that's deep. He says, you want to get in touch with the belief that's behind everyone's actions that you know, who do not know the truth. Know that every man, woman, child, dog, whatever you see, what it's looking for is someone to treat it special and different and apart and better than. And some people want to be special so bad, they are willing to be less than, if that's what it takes. And I started to watch that, and I started to see it being acted out every single place I looked. Everybody was pursuing specialness. Go out to a party, go out to a club and watch them. Everybody's, you know, you kind of make, you know, see, anybody's, you know, I'm here. Haven't y'all noticed? You know, everybody wants to be noticed, right? That's the idol that people will sell their souls for. They'll want to express themselves in some way. They'll want to be creative in some way. They'll want to make their statement. They'll want to be themselves. But if they're afraid that they may lose the specialness with somebody, if they dare to be themselves, they will hold back their light and play small so that they can maintain that specialness and not be replaced. A lot of people do it. I've done it. I've hid my light to try to keep the specialness going. So glad I'm waking up. Oh, I'm so glad I'm waking up. Yeah. Aren't you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we may not have it all together yet, you know what I'm saying? But we know we headed that way more than we ever have before. And that's why I don't really ever expect my classes to be very large. I'm not talking popular stuff. And I'm not talking stuff that people can do easily. They have to be willing to devote themselves to changing their mind. As long as I don't starve, I'll be okay. Which I don't think I ever will. If you were going to starve, y'all would have done it by now. You already got food handled. Don't worry about that. Go to the next level, please. You got food handled, you have clothing handled, and you have shelter handled. You haven't been out. You know what I'm saying? But if that was going to be a problem for you, it would have been a problem by now. That's not your karma. It's not. People who have those problems, they know. We don't have those problems. That's not our problem. You're very old, very advanced. You are. And there are people that are just waiting to love you, but they just don't want you while you're crazy. You know? They like waiting, you know? It's like, look, I'll get your phone number, not while you're mad. You know what I'm saying? You know, okay, I'll cute you. I don't want your number, you know? You know. You know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth, right? Thank you. I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You ever put the body before the mind? Anybody ever put the body before the mind? Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's always raised our hand. Then we won't feel guilty because we all do the same thing. I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel like I'm alone. Okay? That's why I'm going slow. Because all you need is one sentence to change your whole day. So it's no need to go fast. You know. I used to read a whole lot of stuff just so I have more to forget. It's like, slow down, buddy. There's no need to rush. There's no need to rush. So, give a little feedback. Any thoughts about anything that I've said? Any ahas? Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about the specialness, for me, it feels like is when you really don't get that reflection of love and you're trying to find it in some way, you don't know what to do or something.
That is it, too. See, that's the cool thing about it. There's it's like, you know, truth is like a diamond with many facets. So there are many different perspectives that are true. And what I'm sharing is just one of them. The one you're sharing is true too. That's why I'm trying to be special. It's because I'm trying to complete myself. I love when people ask questions because spirit gets go, hey, stop saying this, say this right here. See, the purpose of a special relationship is to hide your own insecurities and fears that you have from yourself, because you're temporarily getting your feeling of self-worth from the attention that the person is giving you. So you're really getting a chance to hide from your own feelings and fears. Now, this is the problem. If I get with you to hide my fears and insecurities, but you actually make me feel insecure and afraid, then I'm disillusioned with you because you're not doing what I hired you to do. You were supposed to make me not feel afraid, but now you're making me feel more critical, criticized, and judged than ever. So I get disillusioned and I want to go find somebody else who can hide my fear. So we're really looking for fearhiders.com. That's what I'm going to start. Fearhiders.com, the ultimate mating service. You know what I'm saying? Are you tired? That person can't hide your fear anymore, and you really seeing how crappy you think you are because they're making you feel that way too? Well, I got a new person you can try it with. What race do you like? What sex do you like? What color hair would you like your fear hidden in? You know, it's like hilarious. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Yes. Yes. And all a holy relationship is a relationship where the purpose of the relationship is to provide a safe shelter for who you really are to grow in and to recognize the love that you are. It's the same relationship with a different purpose. It's the exact same relationship but with a different purpose. You know, it's like I don't have any more special relationships. So now I'm getting a chance to go toward real relationships. And I'm really excited about that. You know, it's time for me to stop suffering. I paid my debt. I'm forgiving myself for what I didn't do. Because that's all you have to forgive people for anyway, isn't it? That you're mad at them for what? What they didn't do. Right? That's what I'm mad about. What you did. You should have called me. You should have loved me. You should have recognized me. You should have treated me better. I'm mad at you for what you didn't do. So I'm forgiving you for what you didn't do. That's deep. I love us. Oh God. Anybody else? Any other question? Any other comment? It triggers channeling.
So just the specialness equals love.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. So sort of like the way
you're
describing,
they are totally.
But people,
they're totally two separate things.
But I'm actually thinking of somebody else that I have a fissure with.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it's true to me too. It's just, and I could probably see it if I was really look at it more closely. But I can see. I wonder if this person equates being special and being unique. Being unique, not special, but being unique, different from everyone else,
mm-hmm.
is equals love. That being that.
But that actually is specialness, and from a course perspective,
right.
And that is what goes for love in the ego world.
Right.
In this world, specialness is love. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the course says, I'm not trying to get rid of your special relationships. It says it in the book. Don't get me wrong. That'd be asking too much. I'm not trying to get rid of your special relationships. I'm trying to remove the fear and the pain from them, which is different. So me being special then, seen correctly, is me expressing love to you in my own unique, special way. You see what I'm saying? It's like there's no other Earl Purdy. Okay? So the truth coming through me will come in a unique way that will never come through anybody else. But it's the same truth. And that's what I'm saying. Each one of you are the same way. And so that's how you never have to deal with the issue of competition. If you're true to yourself, there is no competition. If you're trying to live like someone else says you should, there's competition all around. If the media says unless you are 110 pounds, you're not beautiful, and then everybody's trying to live up to that image, that's competition. But if you are unique in whatever your size or shape is, that's your special way of expressing, then there's nobody for you to try to compete with. And since there's no competition, guess what? There is no competition. Get it? There is no competition. There is no competition. You can go out with whoever you want to, but you're never going to go out with an Earl Purdy. You see what I'm saying? I could meet anybody I want to, but I'm not going to meet you. You see what I'm saying? I can only meet you through you. You are so unique, each one of you. That's the beauty of specialness. That's the holiness of it. To let your own unique personality be used by the universe for the purpose of sharing love, and you'll be taken care of. But you can't do it if you're trying to be somebody else and live out somebody else's script of who you are, which is what we're taught to do by them. Y'all know them, right? Society. I love it. Woo! It's so easy. The world is so easy when you have the truth. It's so hard without it. It's the hardest place you could ever be without it. It's painful. Anybody else?
I got one of the biggest challenges with my kids and the way, even though they go to a very unique school, it's very nurturing, very open, it's very unique, but even then, sometimes, like, Caleb came home with a sheet from his teacher that said, as a class, they were supposed to be setting goals, and one of the goals was to listen better, and one of the things Caleb had written was, no daydreaming, and it really upset me. And I called the teacher and said, you know, I'm very open and I just want to discuss this with you. And I said, you know, one of the things, because Caleb's very creative and sometimes you don't think he's listening because he's not looking right at you and doesn't kind of fit the mold. I said, but I really work hard not to stifle Caleb and to bring out his creative abilities. One of the things is not to beat him down for what you think is not paying attention or not being within himself. And so it's always such a challenge to have make sure that the kids aren't being molded into what society thinks they should be.
That's a trip, isn't it? And then when you said that, I thought about what level of consciousness and what level of love and innocence his soul must have to have attracted a mother who doesn't want to stifle him in his expression. You know what I'm saying? So it says a lot about his consciousness just to have you as a parent. You know, and that assures that he will not be, because you're joining with him on that idea. And all it takes, the Course says, is two children of God sharing the same idea equally in order for it to become the will of God. And I always think that's interesting, because most people are always trying to do stuff how? By themselves. That's how we're taught to go about it. And the Course is saying that is the absolute hardest way to get anything manifested. You have to always join in order to create. And we're taught to be autonomous and self-sufficient, and therefore everybody's working so hard. I love this book, because it's, oh yeah, it's been so long since I thought sanely and naturally, that when I hear a book that's telling me that the natural way I am, I think it's strange now, even though I can see that it does work easier. I'm so indoctrinated that what's natural seems unnatural, and what's unnatural seems totally natural. And the Course says, well, how can you tell that it's not your natural environment? He says, if you're not in your natural environment, everything you do will be accompanied by a sense of strain. But, well, I just need to leave the whole world. You know what I'm saying? I need to leave everything I'm around. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. Oh, man, that's what people hate. Is that when you read the Course, I'm telling you all, if you really get into this book, you cannot be in denial. And you will realize how much denial you're in. And so it affronts your ego. Whew. You know, you can't hear the truth if you want to stay asleep. You can't hear the truth if you want to stay asleep. You can't hear the truth. You run away from the truth if you want to stay asleep. And everybody's got their sacred cow. Everybody's got that one area that they want to stay asleep in, because they like that dream. And that's what makes me mad. The book said, no, you're either asleep or you are awake. The dreams you like will hold you back as much as the ones you think you don't like. Because both of them will make you want to stay asleep. So you have to wake. Do you want to wake up, or do you want just a better dream? Oh, I just want a better dream. Oh, okay. There is a way to have a better dream. How? You have to learn how to forgive. What does that mean? You have to learn to stop getting angry at your own insane thoughts and stop getting angry at all the insane thoughts of those around you. It will allow you to move into what we call the happy dream, in which there are no lacks. And then you wake up. I went, oh, okay, that's a deal. But I didn't have the slightest idea what I was talking about. You know what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden I started seeing all this stuff I needed to look at differently. But I tell you what, it was easier to look at something differently and watch my world get healed than it was knocking on doors, trying to influence, trying to get people to like me, trying to, you know, all the stuff you do on the outer. You know, it's like, to me, it's easier to meditate, focus on the truth, try to apply it to myself than to try to get a bunch of strangers to do something for me and like me and give me money and take care of me and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it's funny how people would much rather spend all their day doing that than 15 minutes in silence focusing on the truth. It's amazing. The first 50 lessons in the Course in Miracles don't even, none of the lessons are over 3 minutes. And I used to say I didn't have time. Now, nobody's that busy. Nobody. Why did I have time to do my lesson today? How long was your lesson, Earl? It was 1 minute in the morning and 1 minute in the evening. And you don't have to believe it. I'm hilarious. I'm hilarious. So I'm going to stop here because we know what our assignment is for the day, right? Our assignment for the day is, as much as possible, see if you can refrain from correcting.
Yeah.
As much as you can. Your assignment for today is to not beat yourself up for not being as spiritual as you think you should be. Or as loving. Those are your two assignments. I know that's rough. I know that's tough. Because, you know, people need your correction. You know, the whole world will come to a halt if I didn't get you straight. You know what I'm saying? I know that you have to be strong to be quiet. You really do. You 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 do. Thank you for sharing with me. I really appreciate it. If you do check and you make it out to Union Temple, you can use it as a tax deduction, which is the same as then, giving and didn't lose anything, which you never do by giving. So I appreciate that. I appreciate your support. I appreciate your love. I appreciate your truth. I appreciate your reality, who you are. Thank you for not leaving me alone in this dream, just remembering what the world taught. Divine love through us blesses and multiplies all that we have, all that we give, and all that we receive. So be it. So pass that around. Thank you. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock will be the class that we do the workbook, which is the practical application of the idea. So if you're ready to actually take it to another level of applying it, then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock. Got you that? Now, so as we leave, I say, may the Course be with you.